HR 1320 AM, W248.
CBS News Brief. President Trump didn't like what Fed Chair Jerome Powell had to say about his new tariffs.
Tariffs are highly likely to generate at least a temporary rise in inflation. Inflationary effects could also be more persistent.
This morning, Mr. Trump posted to his Truth Social Powell's, quote, termination can't come fast enough. Legal experts question his ability to fire the Fed head. Officials overseas hope to soften the blow of Trump tariffs. CBS's Vicky Barker at the foreign desk.
The European Central Bank has just cut interest rates in the 20-nation eurozone to 2.25%. That's the lowest in more than 2 years.
An update on yesterday's power outage that plunged all of Puerto Rico into darkness. CBS's Manuel Bajorquez has new details from San Juan.
There was progress overnight. Crews are now reporting that about 40% of customers on the island do have their power restored. That still means more than half of customers are out.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Hi, this is Beth, inviting you to join me for The Kitchen's Open, the show within the show, each Monday morning at 9 a.m. on The Morning Show on WFHR.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Alyssa Kay. One person is dead after a one-vehicle crash in Portage County yesterday afternoon. It happened a little before 3 p.m. in the town of Almond. A sedan traveling eastbound on County Trunk Highway W, west of County Trunk Highway BB, crossed the center line, entered the north ditch, and struck a tree. The driver and the only person in the vehicle was a 77-year-old man from Almond. He died at the scene. The crash remains under investigation at this time. A diplomatic stand-down isn't wise. That's the take from the one-time mayor of the biggest city in the state. Stuart J. Wattles has more.
Former Milwaukee mayor and U.S. ambassador to Luxembourg Tom Barrett warns that closing the U.S. embassy in that country would boost China's influence in Europe. This was yesterday on the Earl Ingram Show.
So my reaction is the happiest person in Luxembourg, if that happens, is the Chinese ambassador to Luxembourg.
Why?
Because they are ready to just step in and fill any gap when the United States, and I saw this throughout Europe. I saw this throughout international organizations. When the United States pulls out, China moves in.
The Trump administration is considering closing nearly 30 embassies and consulates to cut the State Department budget.
If President Trump thinks his main rival is China, taking these steps that allow China to move in is insane. It's just insane.
Baird said pulling back would weaken America's global leadership. The goal of the administration by reducing outposts is part of a plan to cut the State Department budget by almost half.
April is Stress Awareness Month. Chronic stress can cause harm to your health. Engage in activities that promote relaxation and reach out to people who bring you support and assistance. I'm Alyssa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
A little sunshine this morning, then breezy, mostly cloudy this afternoon, our high 62. Scattered showers, thunder showers later tonight, and a couple of those could bring some heavy rain with maybe a quarter to a half inch or more possible. 49 tonight, 64 with scattered showers tomorrow. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temperature 44.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us at WFHR. Take it, Marvin. Got your host, James, behind the mic, joined by Seth.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks for being here, everybody. Seth and I are going to get in some entertainment news in a little bit. We're talking Easter potatoes, whatever that is. Also, a little bit later, we'll get into that. But we kick off the 9 o'clock hour the way we like to on Thursdays, every Thursday right in this time slot. Let me get this right, everybody. It It's time for our Southwood County Pet of the Week, brought to us by Milltown Coffee. Big shout out to Milltown Coffee. We appreciate them buying local, supporting local. We encourage you to buy local, support local out there, everybody. And I want to send a shout out to Laura with the great production right there.
Yeah, love the theme song. Love it.
Love the theme song. Love it. Denise, how you doing?
I'm great, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing good. We're always doing better when you guys get into the studio and we get to talk to our Humane Society. Love working with you guys and hanging out and being able to talk a little bit. Denise, one of the things that kind of came up organically for us was talking about the big dog that is on top of the roof over at the Humane Society.
Yes, sir.
We had you had talked about the idea of maybe something to name the dog.
Yes.
Well, our listeners are amazing, and they respond to these things. And one of our longtime listeners who sends us these postcards all the time, these makeshift postcards all the time, had the answer, I think, that is got to be in the running at least.
All right.
Roof.
R-O-O-F,
roof. Roof.
How perfect.
It's just rough. It's just roof. It's so great.
Roof the dog. I love it.
It's so good.
100%.
I think that's a great one. We look forward to more names. I want everybody to throw in names for this one. And we are certainly curious. This came up because of the construction going on over there. How are things happening?
Excellent. They have told us that by the end of April, they will be completely out of the building and will be ready to rock.
Nice.
Right on.
And then now, once they're out of the building, we will put the dog back up. But I didn't know, we discussed it on Tuesday night. The dog is built to go on an eave. He's not a flat surface, which I did not know. So he has to go on the roof, if you will.
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
Yeah, so more to come.
That's
awesome.
Great. That's so good. That's so great. Denise, other than the construction, that's great to hear that that's wrapping up. Shout out to Altman Construction, of course.
Yes.
I love our friends over there. How are other things going over at the shop?
Really, really good. We haven't entered the height of kitten season yet. We're waiting for it any day. We have a lot of dogs, a lot of strays, a lot of surrenders, unfortunately. So if you're interested in adding a dog to your family, please come on down or go to our website and check out those friendly faces.
Okay.
You had a big event recently. How did that go?
Yeah, very well. Big shout out to Bullseye Country Club, our golf club, for hosting. The ladies that on the committee did such an amazing job organizing and running it. It was flawless. Flawless.
Wow, really wonderful.
Yep.
Real good to hear.
Yeah.
And we're looking forward to future events and other things, and we certainly look forward to doing stuff together even. We had a remote there some years ago. We'd love to get back over there.
Oh, God, do some more broadcasting. Maybe as part of our open house when we open things up to everybody.
Yeah, that'd be perfect. Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, I'll let you know.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. And real quick, before we get to our pet of the week, Denise, we know that we always like to have a community that loves to help out. Are there things that you could use more than others? Of course, anytime you can bring food, cat, dog food, litter is always appreciated. Anything else that we're looking at?
That we're still short of sensitive stomach or sensitive skin food for both cats and dogs. If you have some of that, or go on our Amazon wish list and that. Otherwise, we're always in need of litter for cats.
All right. And greatly appreciate that, everybody. We'll give you information of how to drop that off or help out in a moment. But Denise, we have made them wait long enough. Who is our pet of the week?
We're going to go with Dexter this week. He's a relatively newcomer, came in as a stray. He's a big boy. I'd say medium size, but he's meaty. He's got some girth to him. Very sweet. He was just neutered, so he has the cone on, and I think that's part of the reason. He couldn't see where I was pulling him. But he's very friendly. He gets along well with other dogs. He's not aggressive. He doesn't jump. He's calm and friendly and just in need of a family.
He's got some terrier in him, but he's got a good combination.
He does, yeah. He's just beautiful, and his demeanor and his personality is just amazing. He's so sweet and loving, and he has the wiggle butt thing going on.
Yes, you can see in the picture. You can see, which you can see this picture yourself at swchs.com, everybody. I don't know if I'm saying this right, but if I was going to ask somebody to give me a generic picture of a dog, I'd almost draw exactly Dexter. He looks like a perfect dog. He looks awesome.
Yeah, and he's only 3 years old, fully up to date on all vaccinations, and he was just neutered, so he's ready to go.
Looks like such a sweetheart.
He
looks like a good dog.
Yeah.
And he's waiting for a new friend, and your new best friend is waiting for you over at the Humane Society, whether it is Dexter or one of these other great, amazing animals. We encourage you to reach out to the Humane Society and find out more. Not only ways that you can maybe help out or do even more at the Humane Society, but maybe find that new forever friend.
Mm-hmm.
We encourage you to reach out to them. Please do. You can do that by heading on over to 3621 64th Street North in Wisconsin Rapids. Feel free to email them, office@swchs.com, office@swchs.com. Mm-hmm. And you can give them a call, 715-423-0505, 423-0505. Their website is swchs.com. Be sure to bookmark that webpage and follow them on social media. Share the things that they do on their page, on your page. You just never know mm-hmm. who might see it otherwise. And a gigantic shout out to Milltown Coffee Shop.
Yes. Yes.
Looking forward to getting over there as soon as they open.
Yep.
And we really appreciate them sponsoring this segment, yes. Everybody. Great people over there. And thank you again, Denise. We love hanging out.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
We will get together next week, and we'll see if you're able to bring one of the... We'll see how the dogs feel. They're the
feel bosses. A little bit better about
they
it.
Are,
yeah.
They're the boss, yeah.
But learn about Dexter and all these great animals again at swchs.com, and be listening every Thursday for another edition of Pet of the Week with our friends at the Southwick County Humane Society, sponsored by our friends at Milltown Coffee. Thanks again, Denise.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
You do.
Say hi to the staff for us, too.
Will do.
We'll be back with more show.
Get ready to experience Milltown Coffee Company, where they'll delight your taste buds with a delicious selection of breakfast and lunch options, a full espresso and coffee menu, and irresistible ice cream. Explore their charming retail and gift area, and enjoy their inviting outdoor seating, which is not only dog-friendly, but also features freshly baked dog treats, perfect for your furry companions. Join them for exciting special evening events and a vibrant weekly farmers market that brings the community together. Milltown Coffee Company, opening May 2025.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. More fiber?
What?
Down here, buddy. It's me, your spoon. Constipation with belly pain still coming back?
Yeah.
Talk to your doctor. It could be irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C, but Linzess could help you get ahead of it.
Linzess linaclotide is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. It's not a laxative. It's a once-daily pill that helps you get ahead of your symptoms. It's proven to help you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 2. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. Talk to your doctor and say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS.
Quality Plus Printing takes pride in being able to be your full-service printer, offering amazing graphic design with exemplary customer service. No job too big or too small. They even specialize in quick turns. Proud to be family-owned and operated. We get your words out.
On the next Midday Magazine, we'll spend part one with Visit Rome and part two, UW Extension, Wood County's Anna Mitchell. It's 4 to 5 on 97.5 FM WFHR.
A little sunshine this morning, then breezy, mostly cloudy this afternoon, our high 62. Scattered showers, thunder showers later tonight, and a couple of those could bring some heavy rain with maybe a quarter to a half inch or more possible. 49 tonight, 64 with scattered showers tomorrow. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 46.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at WFHR. Layers in this one.
Oh man, they did this one when they did it because they had a horn section with them, and there's like a free jazz area. It's so cool.
Oh,
I love this song.
Top 10 bands I'd love to see live.
Yes, they were great.
Really
they were
great, especially for a two piece.
Yeah,
know?
Right.
You wouldn't think that always, but yeah.
They bring their guy. They have basically their own touring band now, so
that's cool.
They do have a good group of guys.
They might be giants playing mm-hmm. us into our entertainment segment, but yep. We do want to send a excuse me big shout out to Denise and our friends at the Southwick County Humane Society and of course Milltown Coffee. Mm-hmm. We'll be on the lookout when they open their doors, everybody. We'll be letting you know mm-hmm. and encourage more and more of you businesses out there to be a part of things here at the station.
Yeah.
Give our front desk a call, 424-1300. Get a part of things and join the team.
Yes.
You know, you hear us talk about businesses all the time mm-hmm. and way more than contractual.
We just not one ad that you hear over, you know, on our commercial list, but we talk about it live. And we have it here or IRI. I mean, we got lots of ways to promote your business.
I have to kick off our entertainment section with a story that I've been waiting to talk about all week. The Simpsons has a 4-season renewal.
Wow.
Yes.
My goodness.
Yes. Yes. I have nothing journalistically or even artistically to say other than yes.
Oh, my goodness.
The cast may be going, don't! Yeah. But I am excited because it'll air until 2029, it's looking like.
Goodness.
With a total, bringing up the total season count to 40. It does look like that will be the end of the run. So that is the other part of this.
Jeez.
But there are a few things in life I am dreading more than the final episode of The Simpsons. I will admit, okay,
it's probably time.
But I love this, and you talk about records that will never be broken.
Oh, not even close. No one's gonna touch this.
It's incredible.
It's an all timer. It's never gonna go. Yeah.
And I will admit, there are a few things that I'm more biased about in this world than The Simpsons. Right. I will say the last couple episodes I've seen really good, like really good writing and
that's good
and different, like different stuff, different storylines, different angles on things, giving different characters the chance to explore and explode and be different and everything, just stuff that you don't see in animated or even in network TV anymore. You think about a show and the life of a show, and every show starts out, you got your four main characters or your couple main characters, 2, 3, 4, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's a good show with good writers, that show expands. And all of a sudden, the neighbor becomes a character, you know, Three's Company and Don Knotts or something like that.
Right.
You've got the Jeffersons with All in the Family, and that turns into a spinoff and everything. There has never been a TV show, maybe anything, but especially a TV show in history that has created more side characters than The Simpsons.
Yes. And they've had to, actually.
Exactly.
Because they have to do it. You have to keep it interesting, right? Yeah.
Necessity and the opportunity to have the time to do it.
Right. Right.
And if you give shows enough time, what can happen? It's something that I would love to see network TV shows, networks do a lot more of.
Right.
And unfortunately, it's going the opposite direction.
Right, right.
You know, I hear all the time in my industry, oh, you got a green light from Netflix? Don't take it. I've never heard this before in my life.
Right.
It's the exact opposite of what we're told as creatives.
Right.
If you get an opportunity, jump on it.
Both hands.
But because Netflix is so horrible with shows and with creators, people are just running away from it. And that's one of the biggest games in town.
Right, yeah.
But it's almost better. You're almost better off taking that great show idea you have and waiting and betting on yourself and going to a more cable-friendly or even more streamer-friendly. Hulu or Amazon even.
Or Apple something. Or something. Yeah, whatever.
And not to say those are that much better, but they're a lot better than the way Netflix is, where it's almost like they wait for a show to be successful and cancel it.
It's weird. Yeah. It's very weird. So a couple things about The Simpsons, and I think the reason why it's lasted so long. Well, first of all, and the main thing, it's still profitable. They wouldn't. Yeah. Fox wouldn't have kept it if it hadn't made money all these years. That's the main thing, right? And like you said, I mean, they've had a great way. They've had a great a collection of talent. They keep renewing those great writers that they've had for all of these decades now. I mean, people come back to the show after leaving for a while, which I always thought was kind of interesting. There's that, and it's animated. The characters don't age. You can do whatever you want with an animated show, basically. Yeah. And they have. I mean, they've done some wacky things over the years.
Oh,
but it's because you can do it. You can, because it's an animated show.
And it should be noted as well, Disney, of course, owns The Simpsons.
Now, yep.
And right now, Disney is, they've got a garage sale going on right now at Disney.
Right.
If you want ESPN, it's never been cheaper.
Yep.
It's never been cheaper to buy ESPN right now.
Yes.
They got a couple of other things out in their yard as part of this garage sale that they're doing, because they are trying to, I wouldn't say that Disney is hemorrhaging money.
No.
But they, even going back to the pandemic, have been hurting a bit. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why they brought Iger back and all these things.
Right.
And they did the exact opposite of what they've been doing with almost everything else.
Mm-hmm.
They are one of those smarter run companies in all of the world.
In general.
To Seth's point, if they weren't profitable, they could not wait to cut this show.
Yep.
Any opportunity to get rid of this show, they'd have taken it by now.
Right.
For one, The Simpsons has something that no other network TV show has. final say on their script.
Yeah, they have final cut and edit. Yeah.
So if they want to take a shot at Disney or Fox, they can get away with it.
Yeah.
No TV. Nobody will ever have that again, let alone this. It's the equivalent in sports of having a trade clause, and you get to choose, you know, if you're traded or not, something right. like that, a no trade clause. There's so many things about this that we'll never see again that even right. if you don't like The Simpsons or ever watch an episode or ever will watch an episode,
sure.
I think is quite interesting in this industry that won't, because you're never going to see it
again. It's one of a kind. It's very one of a kind. You're really never going to see it again. Yeah.
God, I love this show. This is probably more interesting to people, and this is a little controversial. So I hope you all are sitting down. Take a second. And some people think that Bryan Adams should be brought to court for this.
Oh, no.
Because Bryan Adams has lied to us, everybody. He's been lying to us since 1985. That's when he released the song Summer of 69, in which he told us that he procured his first real six string
right.
from the Five and Dime. But it turns out he did not get it from the Five and Dime. Dun, dun, dun! He got it from a music shop during a visit with his uncle when he was 12 years old.
Oh, Bryan Adams, how dare you?
What can we believe anymore?
I mean,
what?
We can't believe the lyrics from a song when he was, which by the way, he was 4 years
old.
The 1969 song.
I would think that almost any classic rock head has had this discussion. I mean,
I'm sure they have, yes.
It was one of the first things I remember talking about in meetings at W.
By the way, did you know Bryan Adams?
And since Brian was born in, to Seth's point, he was only nine.
He's nine. Okay, so he's a little bit older, but yeah.
So he lied about that part, too. this is actually, like, upset some people.
Really?
Like this, the people that are getting upset about it all tend to be a little younger. So it seems like they kind of got into the music a little late, obviously. Yeah.
Maybe they haven't heard the stories or what he's said in many, many interviews. I mean, he's told people this a lot for many years.
Or possibly never heard a song. I mean, this is music. This is creation. I never took him for his word on this. I never
if they have a thing with Summer of 69, we will play to them American Pie and blow their mind. They won't know what to do with that one. Jeez.
This is the equivalent of just taking any song and being, you know, that is definitely a fact.
Yes, yes, because we know that it's a perfect record. Songs are a perfect record of the past. That earns a big old settle down, everybody.
Yeah,
settle down.
That's pretty funny, though. I don't know. I got to look at some of the comments on that with people losing their minds on this one.
And it's Bryan Adams.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, we don't need to talk about Bryan Adams.
No.
We leave him alone.
We do have a couple of other interesting ones here that I wanted to get to. And this one is more so, I think, I don't know how much we ever agree with this, but it's interesting conversation. The 2025 Time 100 is here. Time Magazine's annual list of 100 most influential people in the world. And here are the names that you recognize. Some of the names. I'm not going to go through all of them, of course. But as far as artists went, Ed Sheeran, Scarlett Johansson, Kristen Bell, Adam Scott, Rashida Jones, Kristen Wiig, Hozier, Diego Luna from Star Wars, and Daniel Day-Kim from Lost.
Okay.
Okay. the thing about this list, and I'll go through the list here, everybody, but the thing about this list, I don't know that they've ever really said why or how they put this list together.
Would be more interesting to me to figure that out. Yeah,
I'm
to find
you.
Out.
I was just going to say, I would actually be more interested in how they put this together than the actual names on the list.
Yeah.
And it's nothing against anybody on this list.
No.
It's just, I think that, you know, this is more of a case by case thing.
Because you read some of the names that you just did, James, and I'm like, okay. They seem like maybe in past years that would be better, more? It's very confusing for me in certain parts.
Yeah. So as far as icons, Demi Moore, Eagle star Jalen Hurts, Adrian Brody, Hirooka Sendata, the great Japanese actor from Shogun.
Okay.
ABC News anchor David Muir and Bobby Brown. Bobby with an I. Different person.
right.
A beauty mogul or something.
Yeah.
Titans, Serena Williams, Blake Lively, Lauren Michaels, Simone Biles.
Titans. That's pretty vague, but okay.
Pioneers, Rose from Blackpink, and British star Miles Smith. And innovators, Snoop Dogg, Nikki Glaser, and Larry Fink. Yeah, I don't know.
Larry Fink from what? BlackRock?
Yeah, BlackRock CEO Larry Fink, yes.
Okay, that's interesting. All right.
A Time 100 TV special will air May 4th on ABC. Snoop Dogg will host and Ed Sheeran and Miley Smith will perform. So, I don't know.
Oh, okay. Time magazine used to be very influential magazine back in the day. Not so much now.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this has been going on longer than the death of magazines.
Yeah, like, oh, for sure.
With this one in particular.
Yeah.
Time kind of, like, overnight went from a reputable source to kind of almost like, hey, what's going to sell magazines?
Well, and I remember, I don't know if you do, Mr. Yeah. Everyone out there who's of a certain age, when they decided to make OJ's skin blacker.
That's it.
That was basically it.
Yeah, that was the moment.
Completely ruined a lot of their integrity by doing that.
I don't know if they've, I feel very confident saying they've never bounced back from
Not
that.
Really. Not really.
So. And I believe that moment you're talking about is part of the death of the magazine.
It's a continuum, but yeah, that's definitely one on the trail there.
Certainly not the only factor.
No.
But it was a leading factor and a beginning factor of people being a little bit more, oh, I can't trust this.
Mm-hmm.
We blame a lot of society. Oh, the internet. Oh, this and this and this is why we don't buy magazines and newspapers anymore. We also got to take some personal responsibility for this, too.
Right.
And journalism and some of those things.
That
took a hit long before this stuff happened.
They had a hand in their own demise as well. Well, I mean, we can document many things that have happened over the last 30 years, 40 years, that the reason why people started to lose trust in a lot of sources that they used to trust. And yeah, it's a lot of different things, you know, success has a, you know, as one, you know, death is a thousand. I can't even remember the saying, but there's so many things that have happened over the years. And journalism itself, while we do lament and we talk about it on this show, you know, the death of journalism in a lot of ways, a lot of it was self-inflicted. We have to be honest about it.
Two things can be true.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And it's part of the reason why we promote and talk so highly about the journalism that we're doing here, not
the
just at WFHR, WIRA, but civic media as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
There is some wonderful writing and reporting going on here, and we're able to bring that to you with our WFHR newsletter.
That's correct.
Got a new edition premiering today. Yep. You can sign up for it right now, WFHR.com. And no, you don't have to scan a QR code or fill out 20 million things or give us your blood type or any of that stuff.
No, it's pretty simple.
Yeah. There is a section in there for comments and encourage you to go ahead and leave some if you'd like, whether it's things that you'd like to see us cover or it's just, positive feedback. We always appreciate that
Any
stuff.
Kind of feedback. We'll listen.
There is some really, really great stuff in there. Encourage you to check it out, whether it is some of the great reporting by executive producer of the newsletter, Melissa Kay, you can catch up on, or some of the work that Laura and Michael are doing on sports.
Mm-hmm.
We had two no-hitters recently that Michael's going
to
be covering.
Back
his.
Back-to-back no-hitters in the Coosa. That was – who I've never heard of that, or at least not in not in any other sporting thing that I know of, at least not pros, not nothing.
Our great friend that we get to kick off the show with every day, Brittany Merlot, has some great articles on there about Wisconsin River aquatic rescue efforts or the wildfires, and some of those things.
Yep.
Terry Barr, who's one of my favorites. I love Terry.
She likes really interesting bits that she finds are really good, yeah.
Pete Schwabe put an article in there today and everything. I mean, there's some great stuff in there. I encourage you to sign up for the newsletter right now, everybody. Get on over to WFHR.com. Take a second and fill it out. We greatly appreciate you. Bye. Local, supporting local.
That's right.
We will take a timeout. We'll come back after a news, partner, and sports break and get into some more fun. And Seth and I are going to talk about Easter potatoes. Coming up on The Morning Show.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. A bill from Republican lawmakers makes significant changes to Wisconsin's unemployment insurance law. Here's Joanne Krulatz with more information on these developments.
UI would be referred to as reemployment assistance. Waukesha Representative Scott Allen says it gives job seekers an extra push, calling it a compassionate bill designed to help people when they are at perhaps their lowest. Milwaukee Representative Ryan Clancy questions the need for changes, noting there's no data to suggest that the current UI program has a problem that needs fixing. The bill mandates creation of a division of reemployment assistance within the Department of Workforce Development and adds requirements for those seeking employment. It passed on a 4-2 committee vote Tuesday.
Wisconsin saw a historic number of people turn out to vote in the spring election on April 1st. More than 2.3 million votes were cast in the Supreme Court race. This number is well above 50% of active registered voters in Wisconsin, according to the Wisconsin Elections Commission. One voter population in Wisconsin saw a huge jump in this election. Voter numbers from tribal communities saw historic turnout. According to the Public News Service, the Menominee Reservation voter numbers increased by more than 80% from the spring 2023 election, and the Menominee community overall has seen a 220% increase in voter turnout since 2019. Maria Haskins is a Native Regional Tribal Organizer for the group Wisconsin Conservation Voices. She said more Native Americans are running for office, and the influx of voters reflects the increase tribal community members are seeing in representation in government. Haskins says people are realizing their vote is their voice. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The Brewers beat the Tigers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. The Brewers with a 5-1 win over the Tigers. Milwaukee winning the series. Pat Murphy pleased with the performance from starting pitcher Jose Quintana.
He's so under control. Guys want to play behind him. You know, he didn't have his best stuff today. He didn't have his best command today. Walk three in the first inning. Very efficient after that.
Basketball. The Bucks head to Indianapolis tomorrow, where they'll face the Pacers in game one of their playoff series Saturday at noon. Women's volleyball. The Badgers with a 3-0 win over Marquette in straight sets. Head coach Kelly Sheffield says it was a good turnout at the Fieldhouse for the spring game.
Oh, we had a great crowd tonight. The number of people that were here. I remember our first year here where there'd be some matches that there'd be half as many as what there were tonight. That's what we're hoping to do is continue to get to the point where even our spring matches are filling the entire building, you know, and then having the match covered on BTN.
That's Badgers volleyball coach Kelly Sheffield with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In 2024, a ballot measure to throw out Ohio's dysfunctional, politician-led redistricting process had its description rewritten by state officials to sink it. Now, Ohio officials are trying to sink two more measures they don't like, and the U.S. Supreme Court is now involved. Some background. Ohio's Fair and Truthful Ballot Measure Requirements allows the state to modify a ballot measure's description to make it more accurate for voters. But can it use that authority to manipulate the process and block citizens from moving their ballot measure forward? Organizers tried for 2 years to get the language okayed to gather signatures for the Protecting Ohioans' Constitutional Rights measure, giving citizens the private right to sue the state and removing the qualified immunity that police and government officials are currently given. While organizers have acted in good faith, Federal District Court Judge Karen Nelson Moore wrote that Ohio Attorney General Dave Yost rejected the proposed amendment language 8 times and found the reasons dubious. The 3-judge panel ruled 2-1 that Ohio was restricting organizers' speech and must approve the measure's description. But April 9th, Yost appealed to Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh for an emergency stay of the Sixth Circuit's order, which Kavanaugh immediately granted despite the sketchy circumstances. We'll continue to watch this situation. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
Heavy rain and rising groundwater can turn your basement into a disaster zone overnight. A failing sump pump means water damage and expensive repairs. Don't wait. Tri-City Services installs and services high-quality sump pumps to keep your home dry. Don't risk thousands in water damage. Call Tri-City Services at 715-423-5840.
We're not comfortable until you are at Tri-City Services.
The Morning Show on WFHR. It's serious comedy.
In Wisconsin, mint brownies are the big one.
By the way, why do we associate green with mint? That's what I want to know.
Yeah.
Because
well,
mint isn't necessarily... I guess
a mint plant is green.
Well, a lot of plants are green. In fact, most plants are green. You know, chlorophyll, that whole thing, you know?
There's no way.
Wow. Chlorophyll, is that funny? Wow.
Just the way you said it.
Weekdays from 8 to 10, right here on Locally Grown Radio.
A little sunshine this morning, then breezy, mostly cloudy this afternoon, our high 62. Scattered showers, thunder showers later tonight, and a couple of those could bring some heavy rain with maybe a quarter to a half inch or more possible 49 tonight, 64 with scattered showers tomorrow. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 46.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Seth and James hanging out with you. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. Got a couple topics I want to get into. We're going to have some fun with these. This one, though, Seth, I've been hanging on to. And as we get ready for, of course, Easter coming up.
Coming up.
I'll be right around this Sunday.
Yes, that's
Sunday,
right.
Easter. Yep. I don't know about anybody else, but it snuck up on me. Snuck up on my family,
even
too.
Though it's like later. This is like one of the latest times that it'll happen, but it can do that to you. Yep.
This morning, running past my parents and everything, and my mom's like, "We got to talk about Easter later." I'm like, "Okay." And I figured it was like next week, and I look at the calendar. I'm like, "No, Sunday."
No, it's Sunday.
Yeah. Well, with egg prices so high, will this trend actually take off this year? The New York Times says eggs are so expensive, people are planning to dye potatoes for Easter. It's not a new idea. The marketing group Potatoes USA tried to make it a thing back in 2023 as food prices were rising because this happens all the time.
That's a good reminder, everyone. Thank you. Thank you.
PETA also wanted the White House Easter egg roll to use potatoes last year. The New York Times story says videos on how to dye or paint potatoes have been trending recently.
Okay.
And there's been a huge rise in the stats that I saw of it just looking up myself. So it's becoming less of a joke idea and more of an actual strategy for saving money.
Well, how about that?
The Easter Bunny could also opt to hide plastic eggs full of candy, but that cuts out the whole egg dyeing tradition for kids.
That's true.
A lot of the big organized egg hunts are using plastic ones this time.
Okay.
A guy who runs one in Ohio said, quote, "Plastic eggs can be just as fun," and he's hoping to get back to using real ones next year.
Okay.
I may be a Scrooge on this, but I've never understood why we don't just use plastic eggs. What's the need to use real eggs?
Other than the coloring part, I mean, that's the only thing, because that's part of the fun. But we heard what earlier this week? Marshmallows. And now we're here in potatoes. Apparently, why not just pick any kind of interesting white food that you can make into a different color, right? That's fun. You can do it anyway with anything.
I understand that usually when you say this, you're going to follow it up with an insult. But I genuinely, with my whole heart, say this with all the respect I can. And understanding that I'm talking about things that I don't understand completely and everything when it comes to religion and faith and some of this. I envy those things. That being said, I don't know that this, I mean, of all the things to take literal, to get really specific about, it's got to be real eggs.
It's got to be real. Like,
I mean, can we be honest about some of the traditions about Easter or even other religious holidays that don't exactly have a lot of specifics, tied to them and everything? Let's be honest about the pomp and circumstance of these things.
Right, right.
And to be able to adapt those kind of things, I don't think is blasphemous by any means.
No. Well, and the connection of eggs to Easter is so tendentious because it's we're talking about eggs, new life, right? Basically, that's what it is.
Sure.
It's kind of a comp to the resurrection and all that stuff, but I mean, that's very tenuous. It's not, I mean, it's and the whole Easter Bunny, I don't even know where that came from, but that kind of thing.
That's a whole other topic.
Holy weirdness.
We're talking about looking up idioms and origins of things. With that, so let's say, I'm spitballing here, but I'm guessing, you have kids hunt down, find eggs, they find the eggs, and they get a little bit more of an idea of the light, what you were saying.
New life.
Is that going to come wildly different if they find plastic eggs?
No. And that's so far from the religious implications of the holiday, which are very different from that whole the other side of it. Even more than Christmas. Very separate. Very separate.
I feel like when it's done right, nobody could maybe do it better. The idea of educating while also having fun,
right,
with this holiday or holidays like this.
Sure.
We actually talk about this with other religious holidays oftentimes and say, well, they really have this down far as being able to do both at the same time.
Exactly.
I respect that a lot. I think that's really well done. And to the point of this, I don't mind the idea of the potatoes. I think that's a fun idea. It might be even different for kids than that have been doing this for a long time.
I was
time.
Thinking, the famous egg roll at the White House that they do every year. That would be crazy with potatoes, with all misshapen potatoes.
Yes.
I can't keep it going straight. It keeps going over there.
I also love the idea of years from now, the Easter Bunny being replaced by Mr. Potato Head.
Mr. Potato Head. With bunny ears.
Yes, with bunny
ears. With bunny ears. Got to keep a little bit there, but yeah, I'm with you.
I actually kind of, I was just joking, but now that I'm saying
someone
it out
loud. Hasbro was listening, and they're like, ooh, that's a good idea. We should do that next year.
A whole new life for Mr. Potato Head.
That's right.
That's great. That's good. Got to have Don Rickles doing the voice stuff. That's an interesting, this is an interesting development of this. But I also think that one thing that we're not talking about when it comes to this story, whether it's dying eggs or the price of eggs or any of this sure. stuff, the idea that nobody's canceling Easter.
No one.
We're going to end our show today with like 20 different Easter egg hunts just in this town alone.
In this community, yeah. Surrounding communities, yeah.
That's humanity. That's will. That's, you know, drive. That's something that we, and I know it's not that big of a deal. It's an Easter egg hunt or it's just Easter or something along these lines or whatever. No. Every opportunity that we show that what we can do as people and how we can handle, we can adapt and we, you know, work around things or whatever you want to say.
And connect. Yeah. It's a great way of connecting, too. So
I think that needs to be noted more.
I agree.
I think we've normalized so much of that we are so good at not only adapting, and in part because we've had to, because especially of the way how crazy things can be.
Right.
But there's also an ability to want things to be more, a little bit stronger, reliable,
mm-hmm. right.
and also at the same time to be able to take an appreciation of, man, we're really good at adapting.
Yes. But
human beings are incredible. There is nothing stronger in the universe than the human will.
Yes. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here if we hadn't done that.
And speaking of that, we go to the Florida Man Games.
Oh, no. Forgot about those.
Yes. This went down last month in Augustine, Florida, but we're just now seeing some of the video and some of that stuff is coming a little bit more social, making the rounds and everything. They brought back a few popular events from the last time they did this.
Okay.
And we're going to go over the actual games of the Florida
Man
Games.
Okay, all right. We're getting into it now.
So we got a couple of them here. We'll go through. Like the evading arrest obstacle course. Where you literally escape from handcuffs. You throw an alligator through a drive-through window, a fake one.
Yeah.
Right. And a bunch of other stuff. The weaponized pool noodle mud duel. It's like Joust from American Gladiators, but a baby pool.
Oh, no, serious. Of course, yes.
Those look a lot more fun than they actually are. Done that before, that kind of thing?
Yeah, right.
It's a lot more fun than it looks like. Florida sumo cage match and beer chug.
Oh, God.
You wear an inner tube, fight someone while holding a pitcher of beer, and try not to spill it.
That's inventive. I'll give him that.
The loser can still get points by chugging the winner's remaining beer.
Oh,
it's interesting.
So we got a little twist in there. Nice.
Hurricane party prep.
Oh, dear.
Grocery aisle brawl, like medieval jousting but with shopping carts. If no one falls, you just fight it out for hurricane supplies.
Okay, gotcha. Mm. Makes sense.
Human beer pong is the last one.
Human beer pong?
You're in a big inflatable bubble and have to get past someone, then jump in a pool that looks like a red Solo cup. The loser has to chug beer, whiskey, or whatever.
Right.
Other attractions this year included axe throwing, lawnmower races, a mechanical gator instead of a bull, and a best mullet contest.
Okay, all good stuff, right? Yep.
They are announcing that they are doing it again next year, or they've already announced that.
How do you train for this? That's what I want to know. I want to see the montage video of that.
Yeah.
Of guys training for this.
I think every state should be doing this. Every state should have their own version of their Olympics.
I think we touched on that last time when we were talking about this. What would Wisconsin's games be, right? What would we include in that?
There's
beer, I'm sure.
Sure, yeah.
Beer involved.
Yeah, here's another thing. I don't know about other people, but for me, it may be a beer or two and I'm okay, but if I'm having more than that, I'm not doing any of this.
No.
I want to relax. I'll watch. But I mean,
get out your lawn chair and, yeah.
It feels like all these are, I mean, you've got to be a little intoxicated to participate. And I don't want to do that if I'm a little intoxicated. I'll watch, but I don't feel like I'm doing it. Oh, man. Not bowling. Maybe that.
Okay. Well, that should be part of it. Yep.
Yes, they should have that.
But we got a twist, and we need to put some kind of twist on that.
I want to know what
bowling with a cheese wedge or something. Yes. I don't know.
What sports would the Olympic games for Wisconsin have? Everybody.
Yes.
We want your votes on this one. We want to know what you think.
Let us know.
Let's take a call.
All right. Good morning.
You're on the show.
Good morning. I think the plastic eggs would go better with the religious aspect, because if they're empty, it goes with the empty tomb.
Oh, there you go.
That's pretty good.
The religious community heard from.
You were right on the money. The eggs are there as a symbol of new life, because life begins with the egg.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, thank you for that.
Thank you for that. So we had some theology today. Yeah, so how about that? There you go.
I like that. Appreciate it. Thank you, Beth.
You're welcome.
Appreciate you. Have a good morning. Beth will be with us again on Monday with the kitchens open, everybody.
That's right.
Be listening at 9 o'clock for that.
Mm-hmm.
We had a listener text in for Wisconsin Olympics, frozen turkey bowling.
See, oh, now there you go.
That's good.
That's good.
That's a good one.
That's good, yes. Longest goodbye.
Oh, my God.
You have to keep saying, find ways to not, you know, to say goodbye without actually going.
Yes.
And doing, now, that would be fun to watch.
That would be cool. That is diabolical and awesome yes. at the same time. Oh, that's great. Oh, and we are here 4 days into the great goodbye contest.
And my cousin, you know, he got a deer last year.
You're kidding me, Darry.
The first time.
A whole deer, yeah. Well, let me tell you something about that. Because I was talking to Bill the other day, right? Mm-hmm. And Bill tells me that he's looking at this one. Oh, my God.
Can you imagine?
I love this. I want to do this so bad. You could have there's got to be a Guinness record for longest goodbye.
Oh, man. Well, if there isn't, there should be.
There should be. If there
teams
is,
from Minnesota and Wisconsin battle it out, right?
You look at the top 10 longest goodbyes of all time, all Minnesota and Wisconsin.
That's all of them.
Every single one. Top 20, I will say.
Yeah. love it.
I like this. And we want more of your ideas, everybody.
Yes, we do.
I actually think that unintentionally, we might be coming up with our own Olympic games around here.
Frozen turkey bowling. I love that.
You know, I think the idea, why don't we do this and we do it in between the actual Olympics? You know, the Olympics every 4 years. So every 2 years in between, we do these state games, if you will.
Maybe we start something. Let's go viral with this. Yes. I think we should start a trend here for all the states. Yeah.
I imagine it might be hard to tell sometimes. I'm being very serious about this. I really want to do this. I think this would be fun. Keep thinking of those ideas, everybody, and we'll keep making some plans for it. Looking forward to it. We will take our time out. Final one of the show. We'll come back and get into some local great events going on and local Easter egg hunts.
Yes.
Along with our schedule and plenty more coming up on the morning show here at WFHR.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In recent months, Milwaukee health officials have uncovered significant lead hazards in city schools, mostly due to lead-based paint. Several schools have now been closed as the problem has been found to be more widespread. In late March, city officials formally requested help from the CDC, but in doing so, they learned that the CDC's entire lead program had been eliminated by Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. This is a major problem. Children in the state's largest city are being exposed to lead poisoning at their schools, and the Trump administration is not only refusing to provide assistance, they are eliminating the entire lead program that would help in cases like this one. Now, state and local officials must step up to do something for these kids, since Trump and RFK Jr. are gutting federal support. Milwaukee's children deserve better.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Barrio. Could coal make a comeback in Wisconsin? Pollution and high costs have pushed utilities to start shutting down coal plants across the state. But the Trump administration has announced emergency orders to boost coal, including offering power plants a 2-year exemption from requirements to reduce emissions of toxic chemicals like mercury, arsenic, and benzene. April 22nd marks the 55th anniversary of Earth Day. Back in 1970, Wisconsin Senator Gaylord Nelson called for an environmental day of action that inspired 20 million Americans to take to the streets and demand protections from environmental contamination. Less than 8 months later, Congress created the EPA. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into environmental issues in Wisconsin, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information. And WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
A little sunshine this morning, then breezy, mostly cloudy this afternoon, our high 62. Scattered showers, thunder showers later tonight, and a couple of those could bring some heavy rain with maybe a quarter to a half inch or more possible. 49 tonight, 64 with scattered showers tomorrow. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 48.
You say.
Seth and James with you, wrapping up this show. A hello and goodbye from us. Yeah.
Real quick, James, I'm doing an informal poll. Right off the top of your head, best, your favorite Beatles album, go.
Oh, the White Album.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's a good choice.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mine, just for continuity's sake, Revolver is actually my favorite.
So. Oh, can I change my answer? Oh, that's so...
See, that was just off the top of your head, what first popped into your head. That's why I did it, so...
I went with the wide range of styles.
I love it, too. I'm a big fan of the White Album, but I think Revolver's just a little bit better.
Good. Yep. So good. Yeah. Oh, great one right there. Hope you all were playing at home.
Yes. Play along with us. Yeah.
We got to get into our schedule here, and we got plenty of other great local things we want to touch on. I want to make sure we have time for it, Seth. So okay. If we have time at the end, I'll throw in a kind of fun that ain't right story or interesting story. But okay. For now, get into our schedule. We got a great one lined up for you today. Be sure to join us from 4 to 5 today for Midday Magazine. We have just got a couple left here on that are going to be played actual on the air.
Yeah, broadcast over the airwaves, yeah.
For those that did not hear, starting next week, we are going to be rebranding Midday Magazine to the Rapids Report.
Yes.
And it'll be available for streaming. It'll be available online. You can download it. It'll be available at a certain time of day, like it always is.
Right on our website. Yep.
And you'll be able to catch it still. So we're looking forward to being able to still bring you that and get our interviews in and take care of our area like we report on. And that there's no other show like that on the air.
No, there is not.
We appreciate being able to still bring it to you.
Yes.
Jill Alecnia is going to be joining us from our friends over at Visit Rome in part one today at 4 o'clock.
Nice.
Looking forward to visiting Rome.
Mm-hmm.
And in part two, our good friend Ann Mitchell is going to be joining. Anna's going to be here. We're going to be talking about Arbor Day and Earth Day and plenty more with our friends from Extension.
Trees. Gotta love those trees.
Yes. Looking forward to that. Again, a reminder, everybody, that the Community Shred Day is happening right now over at Prevail Bank. Get on over to 1601 Lincoln Street in Wisconsin Rapids. You got until noon, but let's be honest, you got to get there before then.
Get as soon as you can, basically. Yeah. Get there quick.
It speeds up pretty quick over there. A shout out to Bank Account Corp, Prevail Bank, and of course, our great friends at the United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties. We'll hear how this went with Terry tomorrow.
Yeah, excellent. Very good.
And our great friends at Focus have their neighborhood meals available today. Head on over there if you can and make sure to spread the word about this in case anybody may need it that doesn't know.
Right.
Their dining room opens at 4:15. Seating will begin shortly after that. You can enter through the pantry doors. A small waiting area right over there. Meals are served on Thursdays 4:30 to 5:45. If you have questions, you can reach them at 715-422-1980, 422-1980. A gigantic thank you to Sparhawk Trucking, who does not advertise with us, but I shout them out every chance we get. One, because they buy local, they support local, they put into this community, and opened up their doors to Focus to feed our community. It's a really cool thing that they did over there.
James had an interview, I think, last week so with the people at Focus with Encourage, and right now with all the uncertainty with funding, if you're looking to help, they could certainly use your help right now, either with funding, volunteers, whatever it is. Focus is so important in this community, and we want to help them any way we can.
You want them there for your community. You want them there for your friends, for your strangers, for neighbors. You want them there because you may need them one day.
You never know.
Yeah. Community Clothing Bank is going on in McMillan Library right in, here in Wisconsin Rapids Saturday from 2 to 5. Clothing, shoes, etc. of all kinds for anyone in need of it. All items were donated by caring members of our community. This is a really cool thing.
Love it.
And it's
just like Focus. This is really great.
Yeah. While I wish we didn't need stuff like this, I'm thankful that we not only have it, but have a community that responds the way they do. Again, the Community Clothing Bank is happening from 2 to 5 this Saturday, April 19th, over at McMillan Memorial Library, 490 East Grand Avenue, right here in Wisconsin Rapids.
Yes.
Had one other thing I wanted to touch on before we get to Easter egg hunts here.
Okay.
Seth.
Sounds
and,
good.
And Melissa sent this over, so I wanted to make sure that we got it in because I don't want to get in trouble. There is a free home buyer seminar happening.
Oh, yes.
Join them and they'll walk you through the process and give you helpful tips and tricks to navigate this insane housing market.
Yeah.
This is going on 6:30 to 7:30 May 8th, also at McMillan Library.
Mm-hmm.
You can register for this by emailing amberg at membersadvantagecu.com. And if you go to McMillan Library's website, you can find
links
information
there, too. Yeah,
they'll have links for you to be able to do that. But again, May 8th, 6:30 to 7:30, this will be taking place over at McMillan Library, the free home buyer seminar.
Nice.
That's a pretty good cool stuff. Thing that they're offering there. And Seth, let's dive into some Easter egg
all
hunts.
All right, let's get to the Easter egg hunts, everyone. By the way, all these things are on Saturday, so I don't have to repeat that. Lake Arrowhead will be having an Easter egg hunt at the Pines Driving Range. This event is open to both members and the public for children up to 12 years old. Starts at 10 a.m. sharp. In the event there's bad weather, the event will be moved indoors. The Wisconsin Rapids Kiwanis is having their 97th annual Easter egg hunt. It's going to be at the Lincoln High School staff parking lot. That's on the north side, parallel to the expressway. Of course, on 16th Avenue South. Activities will start at 9 a.m. There'll be pictures with the Easter Bunny and some carnival-style games from 9 to 10. And the Easter egg hunt will start promptly at 10 a.m. at the sound of the air horn. That's just the sound that I love hearing.
Yes.
At 10 a.m. on Saturday, Grand Rapids Volunteer Fire Department Easter egg hunt at Mid-State will be taking place, 500 32nd Street North. Starts at 10 a.m. Get there early, everyone. This event is sponsored by Area Merchants. There'll be emergency vehicles on display as well from the Grand Rapids Fire Department, United Emergency Medical Response, the Grand Rapids Police Department, and the Wood County Sheriff's Department for ages 10 and under, weather permitting. In Nakusa, their Easter egg hunt is happening at 416 Crestview Lane. All egg hunts are free and come meet the Easter Bunny as well. They'll also have face painting. You can buy lunch there as well. There's one big prize per age group. And this is broken up into four different categories. Ages 0 to 3 is starting at 11:15. Ages 4 to 6, 11 to 4. 12:05, ages 7 to 9. And then 12:30, ages 10 to 12. And check out, if you want more information, go to their website, fornakusa.org. That's fornakusa.org. The next three are all in Port Edwards, and they're happening in quick succession at 10 a.m. The Lions Club is having their Easter egg hunt at Alexander Park, 210 2nd Street in Port Edwards. Right after that, the community Easter egg hunt will be happening around 10:15 in Alexander Park, same place. And that's just for the community. And also Port Edwards United Methodist Church is having one Easter egg hunt on their lawn at 411 Wisconsin River Drive. This is a special egg hunt for toddlers as well. Candy-filled eggs and a golden egg prize. I don't know if Willy Wonka will be involved. rain date following Saturday. But it looks like, according to Brittany, we're going to have a really nice weather this weekend. So I think we're going to all be good on Saturday. Vespers is having theirs at 9 a.m. at the recreational park. There'll be prizes, hot chocolate and coffee, raffle baskets. Wood County Sheriff's Department and Vesper Volunteer Fire Department will also be there. There'll be cash raffle tickets available for purchase, and please no dogs. This is put on by the Vesper Recreation Committee. And then finally, in Rudolph, they will be having the Village Easter Egg Hunt at Rudolph Village Park at 10 a.m. This event is sponsored by the Lions.
Whew. I didn't expect you to read all of it.
I just went for it, man.
That was great. Just went right that was ahead. Awesome, man. Yeah, it took like two breaths in between that. That was fantastic,
yes,
man.
Yes.
Nice work.
Man, I've been practicing it on IRI a little bit, so I have to say that.
That was impressive.
It wasn't a cold reading.
And another quick reminder to everybody out there that our great friends at the Southwick County Historical Museum have their Laura Ingalls Wilder exhibit going on right now. Encourage you to check that out. Head on over there and make plans on the 27th to get on over there to hear Lynn Urban from 2 to 4. It's free, and she's got a great presentation she's going to do about Miss Ingalls.
It's only through April, too, so make sure you get it before it goes.
And sign
Sign up for the WFHR newsletter, everybody.
Do it now.
Got a new edition premiering in just a couple of hours. Mm-hmm. Get on over to WFHR.com. Sign up for that newsletter. Buy local, support local. Local matters. Local radio matters.
Local news.
Yes.
Where else are you going to get local news like this? Nowhere, as far as I know.
Nobody is reporting on this area like we are.
Nope.
And we're going to keep doing it, too. And it's thanks to all of you and our sponsors and you guys supporting us, like signing up for the newsletter. Please keep doing that, everybody. And a shout out to everybody working so hard on that newsletter.
Yes.
A 2-year-old boy in Arizona went missing Monday night. No one knew where he was for 16 hours. More than 40 search and rescue folks went out looking for him, but he ended up being found by a dog.
Oh, really?
It happened near Selmington, Arizona, about 100 miles south of the Grand Canyon. The kid somehow walked 7 miles through a remote area full of mountains, mountain lions, and coyotes, but he was okay.
Oh, my gosh. That's scary.
A rancher named Scotty Dutton had just climbed into his truck to go run errands Tuesday morning when he saw his dog, Buford, walking with the kid.
Oh, my gosh.
The boy said he was sleeping under a tree when Buford showed up and led him home.
Wow.
Because dogs are amazing.
Dogs are amazing. My goodness. Buford's what a story.
Buford's a good boy. He's a good boy. Good boy, Buford.
You know, you could give a dog a medal. Just give him some treats. They don't care about medals. They just want some food.
And everybody, whatever you are picturing Buford to look like, you're right.
You are absolutely right.
100% right. That's the most Buford dog I've ever seen.
Big old dog. Oh, my God. That's
an awesome dog. You got to look that one up, everybody.
Yeah, what a story.
You're looking for a palate cleanser today. Oh. You ain't going to find a better one than Buford and Scotty. Mr. Dutton and, of course, this great
amazing dog.
2-year-old survived all that.
Wow. What a story.
I mean, that's incredible.
That is incredible. Yeah,
great week. Great show, Seth.
You too, man.
Be good to each other out there. Talk to you tomorrow.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump says Fed Chair Jerome Powell's termination can't come fast enough after Powell's comments linking new tariffs to inflation.
To terminate, to fire the president, or to remove him, except for cause.
Officials say 41% of power's back in Puerto Rico after the entire island went dark yesterday. Many say the damage is already done.
Small businesses, some are forced to shut down and lose a day's income.
People on Eli Lilly's weight loss injectables may be able to ditch their needles soon. The drug maker says a new pill was successful in a late-stage trial. Medical contributor, Dr. Celine Gounder.
That makes it a lot easier to take these medications. The impact clinically in the clinical trials in terms of how much weight loss was achieved was pretty similar to what we see with Ozempic, not as much as Mounjaro.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah.